This is The Record. I'm Steve Scheer. Initiative 517 is an initiative about initiatives, brainchild of Washington State's initiative champion, Tim Iman. 517 would extend the signature gathering period and make signature gathering a legally protected activity. It also expands the locations where signature gatherers could go, including inside Seahawks and Mariners games. And 517 makes it a crime to interfere, inhibit, or restrict a signature gatherer in any way. Finally, 517 would require a public vote on any local initiative that qualifies for the ballot, even if there's a legal challenge to that measure. Opponents say 517 infringes on private property and free speech rights. Proponents say the initiative expands access to the key part of the democratic process. Joining us is Kai Huschke. He is organizer for the Community Environment Legal Defense Fund, campaign director for Envision Spokane, a group that's fighting corporate governance issues. Kai is working to pass 517. Kai, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Representative Marco Lias. There, I did it. Who's from Washington's 21st District, joins us against 517. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
So, Kai, in your own words, why is Initiative 517 important to Washington?
Well, I think for us specifically, talking about Envision Spokane, I mean, we were, I would say, a victim of the way that courts have started to go after local initiatives, especially, and that disallowing the people for a right to vote on it, in essence, considering legal challenges before the people actually have the ability to vote. So, in essence, when people go out and petition and do their due diligence and qualify something, I think people are expecting that the people should have first crack at it, not the courts. And so we are strong supporters of 517, primarily on that ground, protecting the right to vote. In essence, once you qualify something, it should go to the vote of the people, regardless of what legal challenges people may want to levy against it. That has to come post-adoption.
Isn't the critique, though, that people felt that there were initiatives being passed that were clearly not going to be constitutional and maybe people were spending money and wasting their time where they shouldn't?
Well, I think it begs the question about what's the point of the initiative process but to bring forward critical social issues. I mean, that's the whole point of why the initiative process was put in the first place. I mean, you had, the initiative process, for instance, on the state level, legalized marijuana last year, of which, of course, challenges federal law, as well as in Oregon, the women's suffrage came about through the citizens' initiative process. So, I think it's a very critical element of which needs to be maintained through the thoughts of direct democracy, because without it, it leaves us with limited options about how we actually shape government and society. And so I think it's a critical piece that needs to be protected.
Let me ask Marco Lias what he thinks about this. Why is it bad for Washington State?
Well, I think the critical concern is the impact that Initiative 517 would have on our private property and our free speech rights. So I think we can all agree that the initiative process isn't perfect, that there are places where we can do things better. But this initiative makes such drastic changes by mandating that paid gatherers be allowed inside public facilities, inside hospitals, inside libraries, inside of our stadia, to harass people and try and collect signatures from people in a more aggressive way. And then it infringes
on our— Why do you say more aggressive? Because they're allowed inside.
Because they're allowed inside. And
it doesn't make them more aggressive.
I think if you've been outside the store like I have and the person chases you down to get a signature, it's different when you can seek refuge inside the store and get away from them and move on. But if they're able to follow you in and chase you around until you give them an answer, I think that that's more aggressive than I would like to see, and I think many of the public. In addition, I would just say it also it creates a brand new crime, a brand new misdemeanor if you intimidate a signature gatherer. And I think when you look at the impacts that would have on people's free speech rights and the fact that that term intimidation isn't defined, I think I'm concerned about someone expressing their opinion to the signature gatherer saying, I don't agree with you, I don't like that initiative, please get away from me. That could then become a crime under the way that the initiative has been written. So it goes too far to make changes that aren't necessary to the initiative process.
What parts do you support?
I think that taking a look at the window for collecting signatures does make sense. I didn't realize Washington was on the short end. And I think that, Kai raises some issues about making sure that legitimate initiatives get to the ballot. I think a lot of initiatives at the local level have been thrown out because they've been clearly illegal, but this is an issue the legislature should look at. And actually, there's bills on both those issues, extending the signature gathering timeframe and looking at local initiatives. There's bills in the legislature for us to look at. So we don't have to pass an initiative that restricts our free speech beach and our property rights, we can take the regular process as it goes.
What does that bill do in terms of local initiatives that's being considered?
It wouldn't go quite as far as the initiative does. The initiative says judges can't look at any local initiatives, and I think we should have some check in place. If there's clearly something that's unconstitutional, it shouldn't be allowed on the ballot in the first place. But it would make it clearer that local initiatives should end up on the ballot. So things like the $15 minimum wage initiative in SeaTac that was, I think, erroneously held up in the courts, that wouldn't happen under the bill that's in the legislature. I think we need to take a look at that piece of it. But this initiative goes much farther than that, and it's really designed to help Tim Iman make more money off the initiative process. I don't think that's in our best interest.
We'll come back to money and Tim Iman. But Kaya, 517 state signature gatherers would be legally protected on public sidewalks and walkways and all sidewalks and walkways that carry pedestrians, including those in front of entrances and exits to stores and inside or outside public buildings. That is far-reaching language. There has been some confusion on whether they're allowed onto private property. What does the initiative let gatherers do? Where can they go?
Well, I think it brings clarity to our already existing law. I mean, the reality is that private property owners, you know, specifically grocery stores, you know, they're already having to abide by this, and they already have systems set in place of which they allow signature gatherers to be on that property. You know, a lot of places, for instance, here in Spokane, they ask you to reserve things and to schedule things, and if you're actually going to have a successful initiative campaign, harassing people is probably not very smart business.
Well, can they go inside a grocery store?
You will turn people off to not sign your your petition itself. So I think all that 517 does is give clarity to the fact that this is about freedom of speech. This is about your ability to petition your government. The interesting thing is, you know, people sign this initiative to vote on this initiative, for instance. So I think it's very clear that if we begin to clamp down on the ability actually to speak directly to the people, I think we're in for big trouble.
Can they go inside grocery stores? Can the signature gatherer go inside a private business where the owner doesn't want them?
No, I mean, if you read the language of what the clarity is saying here, it says it's about in front of stores, in front of entrances and exits. What isn't explained within I-517, which is already existing, is that there's already limits to, you know, scheduling, for instance, to be done by that private property owner such that they have to allow access, but they can define the terms of how that access looks. So it doesn't really, it's not the doomsday scenario that is being stood on by those who are opponents to it. And it's also interesting because a large number of the opponents to it happen to be folks that were actually proponents of the privatization of liquor and the removal of the tax on bottled water and candy. So, one, they supported it as an initiative, and two, they allowed initiative signature gatherers to be in front of those very stores, which now they're saying they have the ability to choose which sort of initiative should be on there.
All right, you want to give a reaction? Be quick, because I want to get to the question of
intimidation. Yeah, I just want to clarify, there's disagreement on this idea of whether folks are allowed inside stores. We actually, the No campaign, asked a retired Supreme Court Justice, Phil Talmadge, to take a look at this, and our retired Supreme Court Justice came back and said the language in the initiative is so vague that there could be a case made to allow paid gatherers inside of grocery stores, inside of other spaces that are not public buildings, but are public spaces where the general public is allowed to go. So I think there's a lot of lack of clarity and misinformation about exactly what will be allowed. And that, I think, is one of the challenges with the initiative, that it goes too far.
All right, we're talking about Initiative 517 with Kai Hushka, who is the Washington organizer for the fund and campaign director for Envision, Washington organizer for the fund and campaign director for Envision Spokane, and also Representative Marco Elias. So, Kai, this question of intimidation. Tell me what the law is already protecting signature gatherers. What does the initiative do differently? How does it expand that protection?
Sure. I mean, there's been legal reviews done by various folks as to what that does differently than current law. And it's my understanding that all it does is bring clarity as to what that looks like as far as what you're not allowed to do when people are out trying to gather signatures. So,
well, if I tell somebody to go away, am I in trouble with the courts?
No. I mean, it still comes down to your choice of whether to sign or not is not in jeopardy here. It's about allowing people to have the ability to put legislation in front of the public in places of which the public is at. And your decision around whether you want to sign or not is still your decision. And it's not about protecting a signature gatherer such that they can harass you into signing. In fact, again, back to what I said earlier, if that's your process of trying to gather signatures, well, good luck. I mean, we've done signature gathering here three different times now, and I can tell you, once you decide to do that, you're shooting yourself in the foot. So in essence, if you propose something to someone and they want to sign it, they sign it. If they don't, they don't, and you're on to address the next person.
All right, so let me just back to you. I mean, are you raising your red herring here? I mean, I'm really going to be in trouble if I tell somebody to quit bugging me?
I think you will. I think you can be, yeah. The current law protects signature gatherers already. It's actually a gross misdemeanor right now to interfere with the signature gathering process. And the Secretary of State's office reports that they receive almost no complaints around that. The initiative in front of us would make it a new misdemeanor to intimidate a signature gatherer or, in the language of the initiative, to maintain an intimidating presence within 25 feet. What does that mean? None of those terms are defined. I'm 6 foot 3 inches tall. If I'm standing next to a 5 foot 4 inch tall signature gatherer, am I maintaining an intimidating presence within 25
yes,
feet?
You are very intimidating, sir. All right, wait. So we called up a constitutional law professor on this question, Hugh Spitzer, and we asked him whether 517 is going to even go into court.
It's likely to get challenged one way or the other, and it's very common for IMIN initiatives, if they pass, to either be thrown out or to have portions of them incapacitated.
You're pushing against the IMIN initiative statement there. The IMIN initiative label probably makes people look twice at this, Kai Hushka. I appreciate you talking to us about this, Kai.
Yeah, no, thank you. I think hopefully folks who haven't voted yet will look at both sides of it and understand it comes down to the right to vote.
All right. And Mark Elias, thank you for talking to us.
Thanks a lot.
This is The Record.